Hello everyone and welcome to the CMO Stories podcast, episode 22. My name is Yuri Belast, I'm your podcast host. You can find me everywhere on social media, of course, on Instagram, on Twitter, with my handle Yuri Belast. And today I'm joined by Dan Hefner. And just, you know, we exercise it, Dan, but do I pronounce your name right?
You did, you nailed it.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm great, actually. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm super excited.
He's super excited too, you know, always these people from all over the world that I get. But first, before we start really to talk about apps, what you are doing, Dan, let me first introduce you to everyone, to our listeners, actually. So Dan, you are the CEO and founder Dapper. That's what your company is called. And actually, you have started out building apps with zero ability to write a single line of code. And yet somehow you figured out how to build an entire app development business. And you work with high-level coaches, content creators, and entrepreneurs to put their idea into a tangible, sleek, and scalable app model. So yes, when I was reading this about apps, that's actually in my head, it has been a hype at a certain moment. But I was wondering, yeah, is it still a growing business to be in app development business? Perhaps you can talk a bit about that.
Yeah, that's a very good question. I get that question a lot. You know, people are saying, oh, you know, apps are dying and nobody downloads apps anymore and all this stuff. And it's just not true. I mean, statistics, if you go and look, there's just more and more, you know, apps being downloaded, more and more time people are spending inside of apps, more and more money being spent inside of apps. And that's just inside of a mobile presence, not to mention, you know, apps that are just basically like a web browser, you know, like a progressive web app, something like that, right? So, I mean, it's really, really interesting future that's happening right now, especially I love when people talk about, you know, figuring out how to build apps without learning to write a single line of code, because people are like, well, how does that work, right? And that's really one of the big exciting future developments of this area is that there's things called no code app builders, no code software, where you can build incredibly awesome tools and apps and web apps and mobile apps and all that stuff without writing code, without even knowing how to do a single line of it, without doing HTML or CSS or Java. And like, it's learning another language, mm-hmm. right? So it's exciting. I mean, it gives really anyone the ability to come in and compete with an industry leader, an industry giant, like off of day one. And that might sound like hyperbole to some people, but it really does. I've seen it happen. I mean, it's really, truly incredible. So it's an exciting thing to be in these days. Sometimes I have more people than I can actually handle. So that's a good problem to have. So yeah, it's just a booming thing these days. It really is.
And is it actually that you're building apps for your clients, or are you helping them how to build them? What is actually the business model?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I started out, it kind of goes back to my origin story of how I got into it, because like I said, I really wanted to build an app, but I faced two problems back when I was working, I was like help desk guy working, you know, just kind of mm-hmm. learning IT and stuff. I didn't know how to code at all. And I didn't have any money, right? So right. I was trying to, you know, go to agencies and different people, and they would be like, well, that app will be $100,000, $150,000. And I was like, oof, can't really do that, right? So I went through and learned just about every piece of software out there and found that it was easy to do once you learned it. But then as I got into business, inside of this, I found that even though they've made it very easy, a lot of people still don't even want to do it. Mm-hmm. They just would rather have someone do it for them, right? So a large piece of what we actually do is more of a done for you type of deal, where we can come in and actually build the app for you, design it, you know, kind of work alongside of you as kind of like a fractional CTO, I guess you could call it, chief technology officer. I hate to say CAO because that would be like cow, you know?
Yeah.
I don't usually use that term. But that's interesting because a lot of people I see just kind of have an idea and when they come to me, they haven't really thought through the business model. They haven't thought through the scaling factor. They haven't thought through the back end work that's actually going to be required. People kind of just think it was almost like a funnel, right? Like you can just launch a funnel and you have a business. And it's like, well, no, you don't really, because that's just a sales piece, right? So that's a large part of what we do, is actually almost like a consulting slash building role, because it's just, there's a lot to think about when you really get into the nitty gritty of stuff.
Yeah, I imagine there's a lot of thinking before you start to build. And it also makes me think of website building. Also, you need to think about what do you want. And it is not everyone could build a website nowadays, but anyway, people don't really like to do it. I guess it's a bit, an app sounds for me, you know, more like a farther bridge than building a website, it seems. And if you compare like, you know, a mobile website with an app, and people could think I just build a mobile website, what are the differences and why would people, you know, prefer an app instead of a mobile website?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So actually, I'm really glad that you said the words like anyone can build a website, right? Because that's where a lot of this technology for app building has come along, where they say anyone can build an app, right? Mm-hmm. I get marketed to all this new stuff all the time. It's like, hey, build your app in three easy steps, right? And yeah, the cool thing is that's possible. Like the building of it isn't really the problem anymore. It's more the marketing of it, right? It's actually getting it out there and getting people in front of it, which is kind of also, I probably should include that in my last answer, because actually helping you market it and get it out there and use it as a marketing tool is something we help with. But no, that's actually one of the most common questions I get asked, like, hey, well, I'd rather just do a mobile website, that's perfectly okay. Like if you don't have a mobile friendly website at this point, like you're probably, that's definitely not, that's a no go with things. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing is that, and I mentioned this earlier, this term called PWA, it's called Progressive Web App. It's basically a mobile website. It's the look and the feel and the functionality of a native app that you would download off of Apple or Google or something like that. But it's inside of your browser and it's inside of Google or Safari or whatever you use, right? And that's interesting because then people don't have to download things, but it can still track and it can still do loyalty stuff and it can still have the look and feel of an app without you actually having to go through the hoops of getting it on Apple and Google and all that stuff too. But when it comes to your client experience, right, like I always tell people this, a website is almost a passive means of communication, right? Like you can go out there, you can do blogs, you can do SEO, but ultimately you have to drive people to your website in order for them to do things. And a lot of people don't go back to websites, right? Honestly. Mm-hmm. Whereas with an app, it can be the same thing, but you also have the back end piece where it becomes an outbound marketing tool, right? With a website, you can't really, you know, outreach to people, or they can sign up for text messages and things like that. But, you know, we all are familiar with those little push notifications that come through on our phone, right? So when you get people to come into your app and they sign up and they subscribe to those, you can then use your app as an outbound marketing tool and channel to get people to come back to it, to get people to engage in things, to send them to, you know, events or live shows or content or whatever that you're doing, which is really one of the key differences, is that passive versus active type of marketing piece with that, which it's really powerful.
Yeah. Now that you're saying that, it's made me think of something. As you say, website is passive, but you know, in Europe here, we have the GDPR law, the privacy law. You cannot send out like these emails to people that didn't do an opt-in. And I guess with the website, a lot of people are visiting the website, but you know, with everything that it changes, you know, it's not so easy anymore to do retargeting and so on. But yeah, I imagine if you people download the app, they subscribe because, you know, they install it. So they agree on which notifications to get or not to get. And actually, yeah, this is a really good way to reach your audience.
Yeah, yeah. And 100%, and we actually had to make some changes to accommodate for that, right? And a lot of these out there will actually, they give you the ability, just it's like a checkbox or a toggle or something that says make GDPR compliant, right?
Yeah.
And so that actually, it's all taken care of for you. Like ours, it's like a checkbox. And then you go through and you configure the language that you want to tell people about opting in and all that stuff too. So it's pretty straightforward and easy to configure for sure.
And I read in your bio that you have content creators, you have coaches as clients. Those people, you know, it seems like when I think about apps, I think about perhaps bigger companies or corporations. Why would those people have their own app? And, you know, do they get an ROI on that? Because I imagine that it's an investment for them, or how do you see that?
Yeah, no, that's a very good question, because some people, you know, when I tell people about what I do, I'm like, yeah, I do apps, but not like Angry Birds, you know what I mean? Not like those types of things, you know? And it was actually kind of funny, because I was doing my podcast as I was launching my very first app, and I started working with a lot of people in the coaching and expert type of space. And people just kind of organically started asking me, like, hey, do you think you could build something like that for me? I was like, yeah, sure, I can give it a try. And that's kind of how I just started, you know, freelancing at that point, doing it. And then it kind of turned into its own thing. But the main piece that really helps someone like that, who is, you know, works in a consulting area or has one-on-one clients or even a group type of deal where you're working people through in that kind of way. There's two things, really. There's content and there's community, right? And that's really what apps make facilitating super, super easy. I mean, you think about Facebook, right? Mm-hmm. It has tons of content and they're focused on community, right? Like that, they're doing Super Bowl ads for groups. You know, they're going all in on groups and communities and that kind of stuff, right? But the thing is, a lot of people are disenfranchised with things like Facebook and Instagram and those bigger type of things. So, but people still need community. We all crave, as human beings, we crave that interaction. We crave that feedback, that connection with people who are in similar places with us, right? So what we've been able to do is help people to say, hey, look, like you go out there and you post all this stuff in your Facebook group and you go live and you do all this stuff, but what happens to it? Like it gets lost in the algorithm, right? Like it's never top of mind for people because there's 9 bajillion other people out there doing the same thing, right?
Right.
So inside of your own place, you're the only one that's there. Right? It's just the Yuri show inside of your own platform. You don't have to worry about Dan Hafner coming in and doing content or other people coming in and doing that stuff. Yeah, right. Yeah. So that's what's really cool. We actually, one of the very first clients I had, she did like Reiki coaching and different kinds of, I'm not really familiar with that area, but it was very like, it's like chakras and like all, you know, meditations and that kind of stuff. And she had, boy, I think it was like 25 years worth of content, you know, just recordings and trainings and just tons and tons of stuff. She's like, I don't even know what to do with all this stuff. Right. So what we did, we helped her put it all like logically into an app where people could access it on demand. They can listen to it in the background, just like a podcast. Cause she used to have people reaching out to her one-on-one, like, hey, I need help with this, or I need this. And then she would just be inundated in messages all the time, where now she can just be like, oh yeah, go into the app and listen to this audio, or hey, go into here and check out this cool training I have. Right. It literally saved her like hours per week.
Whoa.
It was really helpful and beneficial for her. Right. So I just love to tell her story for that, because something not a lot of people think about. It's like, okay, great, you have all this awesome content that you create and it lives once, but what if it could have life forever? You know, like that's what's interesting to think about.
Yeah, I haven't thought about, you know, in that way, that it's also, you know, it's the content, it's productivity aspects about it. Because apps, you know, you think of the, as you say, different regular apps that lots of people have on their phones. And I was wondering about people with those apps, for instance, a coach, they do marketing, you know, because they use the app to get clients. Or is it more like you say, we have the app because it supports me, my main business. How do they use the app?
Yeah, you nailed it. I mean, it can really be either. Or both, really. There's actually an app that I use for our business, for Dapper Mobile Apps. It's called Mobile Domination. I'll actually probably plug it at the end, but I can plug it now too.
Yeah.
Because it's designed as both. It's designed as something I can come on here and, you know, use on podcasts to promote, to bring people into the community that I have in there and the content that I have in there. But then I also have all my membership stuff in there. I have for everyone, anyone who joins our mastermind or any of our self-guided courses on anything we have, it's all inside of there, right? And it's not just accessible on your phone, it's accessible on like a laptop or a desktop as well, right? So you can really use it for both. We actually, it's a little more useful, we've seen, as almost like a client fulfillment type of deal, just like that, mm-hmm. where you can really go in and like put your membership stuff in there, and you can put your courses in there, and you can do all that stuff in there too. But then it also can serve as an outbound marketing tool, as a like, hey, check out this app we have. You know, if you, it can almost serve as a single point of capture, right? Because a lot of people say, hey, go to my website or mm-hmm. check out our podcast or do whatever, because you can set it up to need opt-ins. You can set it up for people to create accounts. You can do a whole lot of, it's almost like your own personal gateway. Right.
Yeah.
So you can really use it for both.
And in the second case, when you use it for marketing, it's like a free app that people can download. And because of the app, they come into your community and you can, for instance, you know, upsell them other subscriptions, or because lots of apps are free. And then, you know, if you want to use them really properly, you need to pay. I don't know. Is that a model that you're using or for those kind of apps?
Yeah, that's usually the best model. I mean, if you think about how many apps have you actually paid for that are on your phone right now?
Yeah,
like to download, you know, like I have like 3 maybe out of the 100 that I have, like, you know, because I just, even if they're only cheap, if they're $3, $5, $10, we don't tend to make our apps paid. Now, you can do that. There's nothing wrong with doing that. It's certainly something we can help people with if that's something you want to do. But again, like you said, like, 99% of the time, that's going to make your downloads go way down because people are like, oh, I don't really want to pay for this. But yeah, that freemium model, we call it, almost like a Spotify type of model, where you can come in and you can use it, and you kind of get some limited stuff. There's gateways, there's things like that that are, you know, it's worth it to upgrade to that, you know, $7 a month, $10 a month type of deal, something like that.
So that is, I imagine, because then. When you want to sell it, it's about volume, of course, that you want to do it, because people don't like to pay for it. Certainly, if they have not, you know, most of apps are free, so they want to try it out. And then if they are happy, perhaps they will pay for stuff, I guess, to do the more. And in your, you know, your app business, so how many people do you work? Do you work with people on your payroll? Do you work with freelancers? How do you manage everything? Because you have a lot of work, you say.
Yeah. Right now, we actually kind of utilize freelancers for most of that. I was actually reading something about this morning. I was kind of stuck in my own bottleneck for a while, because I was the only one that would want to do things. You know what I mean? And eventually, and this kind of goes for anyone in their business, eventually, if you do start in something like that, it's hard to let go, and it's hard to outsource and to hire people,
mm-hmm.
but you'll never get to the next level if you don't. You know what I mean? So even that, like a lot, I still do a lot of the consulting work and the strategy, the implementation of those things. But when it comes to like project managers and actually doing some of the nitty gritty stuff, we definitely have like VAs and freelancers that help with that.
I imagine, because if you want to scale, also, what is the thing that you like the most about your business? Is it, you know, defining those apps, talking to clients? Is it marketing? I understand it's not the project management, but what is it?
That's a good question. I got asked this recently too. I think the favorite part that I have is when we actually launch, when we get a client all the way through and we've done the work, we've figured out, you know, a lot of times honestly, it's software development, and it is, mm-hmm. it's problem solving. It's figuring out, because not everyone's is always the same. It's not always just a boilerplate type of deal. It's, you know, hey, I do my program this way. I do this way, and I want this person to see this, and all these different workflows you have. So it's an accomplishment, you know, and when we finally get that thing launched and they can actually go onto their phone and download their own app to their phone, people are usually pretty excited about that. It's a mm-hmm. pretty neat thing, you know? And to me, that's kind of one of my favorite parts, is seeing that, like, that triumph happen just initially. Because, you know, I've seen, you know, we've worked with people who've had awesome success with their apps and people who have not had success with their apps. But
yeah,
that first download, that first like initial launch is like, it's like there's like hope there. There's excitement there. And that to me is like, oh, it's so cool. It's just so much fun.
Yeah. That you can, I would say the adventure is nice to really build it and define it and then really see that it's live, that it's, you know, on the app stores everywhere, that people can download it and you get feedback. And I imagine too, you know, you launch it, but then you get feedback from people and then the app needs some, I would say, maintenance, both kind of maintenance, I guess, a bit of evolution in the app because you see that some things need to change, but also technical maintenance. I imagine it's not like, you know, delivering the app and then nothing happens anymore. I guess you still need to follow up.
Yeah, I mean, think about any apps that you have on the App Store or Google Play, right? I have an iPhone, so I talk about the App Store, but you know, there's updates to apps. Yeah. And they say, hey, we fixed these bugs, or hey, we added this cool new feature. So if you don't want to have just we call it a dead app, right? Like you don't just want to have, it's like a website that somebody launched in the 90s and you can tell never got updated, you know? So there's, and that's some of the cool stuff too, is that we've built into our platform is that you can have analytics of, you know, how many people, like how long are people actually staying in your app and what are they engaging on and what are they actually, what features are more popular than others? Because sometimes we have people who are like, hey, I want to put this this weight tracker tool in here. I think this is going to be really cool, right?
Yeah.
And then nobody uses it because we can see in the analytics that just like nobody uses it for whatever reason or another. So they're like, okay, let's get rid of that and let's focus on something else, right? Or you might find that a feature you put in there, you never thought like a booking feature or like a, you know, a loyalty feature or something that you didn't think would have any success ends up being like the most visited thing in there. And you're like, huh, interesting. Like that. Okay. We should definitely market that more, like, you know, focus on improving that part of it, you know? So that's really cool. That's a lot of fun.
Of course, because it's an app, you own the data, you have your own analytics, you have, because sometimes I use Google Analytics, you know, to get data, and sometimes I use other tools and I compare the data and then it's different and then you don't know what to trust, and not every analytics has the same, you know, KPIs or metrics. But if it's your own data, you know, you can trust it and then you have the whole overview. So I like that. I had actually, before I went into marketing, I had a business analytics company. And so analytics for me, it's something, for a lot of things, it's really useful to have analytics. Do you have like this standard analytics, standard KPIs that you have in your apps? Like what you just said, the most used features, is there something else that you measure? Perhaps tell me.
Yeah. I mean, there's really two levels, because even like Apple and Google will give you a whole bunch of stuff when you launch your app, like countries and a bunch of different KPIs, crash reports, all that stuff. And then ours is kind of a second level piece of analytics, right? So you can go by weeks, by days, by months. You know, you can see the most popular countries that you're in, you know, how many sessions, how many downloads, the actual user accounts, and a lot of different stuff. So so our analytics aren't really even as honestly involved as the Apple and the Google ones, because they didn't really need to be, because Apple and Google, they already give you tons and tons of analytics. Honestly, not a lot of people even know about or use. I didn't know or use them for a long time as well, because they have things like churn reports, because a lot of apps will, you know, sometimes you probably downloaded apps and you don't even open them for like a month, right? Or you open them and then you use it once and you're like, I don't really like this, and you delete it, right? So that's important to know as well, is like, okay, if I get 100 people in my app, but only 30 of them are actually sticking around, that's useful to know. Like you said, like analytics are very, very powerful, because I can do something with that data when it comes to selling, when it comes to promoting, when it comes to whatever, and I can try to get that, you know, improve that in some way.
Yeah, I know, because sometimes I see people, I see like Instagram Reels or somewhere else, I see someone talking about an app, I say, okay, interesting, I download it, but then I forget about it, you know, that's actually important, that people try, or they open the app and they will do something that they continue to use. But I think that's for everything in business. If you have a product, if it's an app or something else, you want to have something that people start to use and enjoy using. So like a website or like everything else, you should make have this wow feeling, I guess.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's important to really think about, is your app really solving a problem, I guess? Is there really a use case?
Yes, 100%. I'm glad you said that. So there's actually a statistic I've read a couple of months ago. I don't know if it's been changed or updated, but there's, you know, we actually spend about all the time we spend on our phone, about 80% of that time that we 80 to 90% of the time that we spend inside of any app on our phone is really only inside of five different apps.
Mm-hmm.
Like we all have our favorite ones, right? Whether it's your text messaging, your Facebook, your TikTok, whatever that might be. So a lot of people, you know, they're like, well, how do I crack into that top five, right? Mm-hmm. And you might not. You might, you know, in yours is depending on what your app does, it might not crack into that top five. But just like you said, if you're solving a specific problem, I download apps for a specific need I have, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like when I was training for my last half marathon I did, like I needed an interval training app.
Yeah.
And so I searched for that and I found one. And that was the problem. That app serves that purpose, right? So just like you said, like it your website kind of can serve as your catch-all type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Your app actually has to solve some problems. It actually has to solve some things that people are looking for.
And then I think also definition of your app, and then I guess it's a kind of SEO, because when I am looking for a certain problem, I will download it. Sometimes it's just temporary because, you know, if you're training for your half marathon, and then perhaps when you have reached your goal, perhaps you don't need it anymore, or I have apps that I'm just installing just for certain time, and then, you know, I get rid of them again. So I think that's really key that you have an app that is solving a problem. Do you have, because you talked about social media apps that everyone is using, of course, do you spend time on social media for your business, and what is then the channel?
Yeah, so what we actually started, you know, it's funny, I personally have a love-hate relationship with social media. I think like a lot of us do, mm-hmm. you know, but it really is like I was listening to a podcast the other day and the guy was talking about how, you know, if you really don't take advantage of social media, it is literally the most powerful free marketing tool that has ever existed, you know? So it's very, very interesting. So yeah. So what we did, I have a free Facebook group you can join. It's called Mobile App Mastery.
Okay.
So if that's interesting for anyone, we do some live videos in there, some trainings and just different stuff around, you know, just app specific topics, right? I don't really go on a whole lot of other social media platforms other than podcasting. Really, I love podcasting. I was into it before. I kind of fell out of it. And now I'm really getting back into it because I was like, you know, I just really love podcasting. I love these interactions with people like you. I love hosting people on my show. And just having these conversations is just fun to me because there's so many things you can do inside of a podcast. And I love to listen to them when I'm like walking my dog or I'm just driving or doing whatever. I just love podcasts. I do.
So you mentioned the Facebook group and so on. You'll put them in the show notes, but also you mentioned your podcast. Where can people find your podcast and what's the name of it?
Yeah, it's called the Mobile Domination Podcast, just like the app. So it's available.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, all those different places.
Awesome. So thank you, Dan. It was great to have you having a discussion or hearing more, knowing more about apps. You know, those were things we see it in our everyday life, but we're not always thinking of having an app for our own business. I think it's a good idea for people to think about this, not only about the website, but can an app solve problem? Because as you mentioned, there are different advantages. So thank you for being a guest on my podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you. And enjoy the rest of your day. And to everyone listening, thank you for listening. And I hope to see you back in the next episode. Bye. We'll be right back.